Life has to be lived one day at a time, in the now. But we also have to be prepared for what's coming later. Fortunately, there's a resource that helps us with the now and later, and that's the Bible. Join us for a series from the book of 1 Thessalonians to find out what we need to know now and what we need to know about what's coming later.
Church, how is everybody doing today? All right, good, good. We are starting a new series. I'm Pastor Vern, by the way. I haven't been up here in a few weeks. Some of you may have forgotten that who I am and that I'm still here. Okay. Pastor John, I thought, did a great job taking us through the first series of the year, which is all about relationships, and grateful for his preaching and his gifting. But now it's my turn, and I'm going to take a little time to walk us through the book of First Thessalonians. And if you think that's easy to say, just kind of rattle it off your tongue, okay? First Thessalonians is where we're going to be for a few weeks, and we're calling the series Now and Later because it's besides being a candy, which I don't think I've ever actually tried, but it's also a pretty fitting title for this series because we're going to divide it into two messages that deal with the now and two messages that deal with the later. So we're going to be looking at some things that are relevant to us right now, today, this very moment, and then some things that will change our life as we think about them, but they will be coming later, and we'll be prepared for them as we read through Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, and talk about those. So the message today is about how to share the gospel. Gospel is a word that means simply good news, okay? Yeah, so we have some good news to share. That's what I want to tell you. I was thinking about, where do I want to go next? Here's where I want to go. I want to be among the first to wish you a happy and merry Christmas, okay? Deb came home this week, and she said, and I don't know where she was because I'm a man, so I was only half listening, okay? And I only caught part of it. Well, it's true, right, guys? Come on. Give me some love. Don't let me stand here by myself. We only half listen, right? We kind of half listen until we hear something that kind of, oh, I want to know about that. And then we tune in. It's true. Women are clapping somewhere over here, but it's true. So she was talking about having gone shopping somewhere, and I was half listening to that part. And then she said something about Christmas, and I perked up, and that I heard. And what she said is that this place where she was, they were already bringing out Christmas stuff, okay? Which, I don't know, maybe that's a record for getting it out early. As we start this message, I wanted to share with you a verse that comes from the Christmas story, and it's in Luke chapter 1, verse 19. The angel said to Zechariah, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news." And the word there, sometimes in the Bible, that the word evangelion in the Greek is translated good news, and sometimes it's translated gospel. But they mean the same thing. The gospel is good news. Good news is the gospel. So when he says, "I have come to tell you this good news," we could say, "I've come to tell you the gospel," because the good news or the gospel refers to Jesus has come, and Jesus is here, and we have new life in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel in shorthand. We're going to talk about a little bit more in depth this morning. What I want to say to you today is this: we need to share the good news. We need to share the good news. Good news needs to be shared. In fact, it's imperative that we share the good news because there is an increasing number of people in the world that do not know who Jesus is or what Jesus has come to do and the difference he makes in our lives, and they need to hear this. They need to understand who Jesus is and what he can do for them. So why is it hard for us to share that? Some news is easy to share, right? A lot of good news is easy to share. You know, you get engaged. And you're probably, you can't wait to tell somebody about it, right? you got to share that good news. Or you get a job promotion you've been waiting for and hoping for a long time. It finally comes through. You can't wait to share that good news. You know, there are times where we're just busting to share good news. But when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to sharing the good news, those of us who are in Christ, we sometimes struggle. In fact, not sometimes, a lot of us struggle with that. You know, year after year, they come out with reports, Barna Group and others, that say Christians typically do not share their faith with other people. And why is that? Well, I think a couple of reasons are we don't want to offend anybody, right? We live in a culture where everybody's kind of sensitive, and unless you're on social media, you don't want to offend anybody. Apparently, it's okay on social media to offend anybody you want. But you know, face-to-face, person-to-person, we're careful about that. We don't want to get people riled up, stirred up, upset, angry with us, that kind of thing. I think another reason is that we're not sure we know enough to share the good news. We don't know how to talk about it. We don't know what to say. I was in a meeting yesterday, and it was kind of interesting because it was a meeting of people who are just coming into the path to eventually perhaps become pastors in the Free Methodist Church. And in the group that I was in, we were interviewing these candidates, and one of the questions that we had asked them was, if you had to share the gospel in 2 minutes or less, what would you say? And people struggled with that. Almost every one of them struggled with, I'm not sure how I would say that, what I would say in 2 minutes or less. And I think that's true of a lot of us. We're just not really sure how to encapsulate the good news about Jesus Christ. I think another reason is that we don't want to be made to feel naive. You know, we went through that series earlier this year on science and faith, and really part of my intent in that series was to help you see you have good reason to say proudly, I believe there is a God. I believe there's a God who created all of this, and I believe there's a God who's alive today, and he is involved in the world today, and he makes a difference in people's lives today. And I was trying in that series to show you very intelligent people believe that. And so we have nothing to be embarrassed about when it comes to sharing our faith. We have nothing to, you know, we don't need to hold back and say, well, I'm afraid people are going to, you know, you might think I'm kind of naive or childish, you know, like I believe in the tooth fairy, I believe in God. No, you know, we have very good reason to say there is a God. And a lot of very smart people agree with us on that. So we don't have to be embarrassed about it. Some of us are just plain shy. We just have trouble striking up conversations of depth and meaning with people, especially people we're not really close to, but even sometimes with family members and close friends, right? We're a little bit shy about going into certain places with them, right? What are the taboo topics at Thanksgiving dinners, right? We don't talk about religion or politics, right, at Thanksgiving dinner, because we don't want to get off on those things and get into trouble. But here's what I want to tell you. We don't have to be embarrassed, shy, nervous. We don't have to be any of that when it comes to sharing the gospel. I want us to develop more of the attitude of Paul, the Apostle Paul, as he gave it in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. This is what he said. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to tell anybody the gospel because it is the power of God. Can you imagine watching somebody stumbling around in the dark, banging into tables, right? Banging their shins against tables, tripping over stuff because they can't see. They're turning switches, they're turning on lights, but nothing is working. And you know it's because the breakers have been turned off. You know where the power will come from. You know what they need to do to access that power. How many of us would stand back and say, no, I'm just going to hang out here for a while and watch them trip and fall and bang their head on stuff, and I'm not going to tell them about that, right? Hopefully we wouldn't do that. I'm hoping. I'm really believing in our congregation. We wouldn't do that, okay? Maybe we do it for 30 seconds or so, but we wouldn't do it for very long, right? Right? We would go. We'd say, listen, I can tell you where the power problem is. It's the breaker. Let's turn that on. You'll have power, right? Well, even more than people needing lights in their house, okay, people need to know the power of God. Paul says it is righteousness. This is the power that changes people's lives for now and for eternity. And if we know where the power comes from, if we know how they can access that power, then we have a responsibility to share it with them. Paul was not ashamed to do this. He wanted to tell everybody. Paul, he says in various places, he says, I wanted to go where nobody else has been with the gospel. I wanted to be the first one to take it to places nobody else has ever heard about Jesus. I was going to be the first one to get there and tell them about it. That's how excited he was. He says in another place, and I think it's in 1 Corinthians 9, he says, I'm compelled to share the gospel. Woe is me if I don't tell people about Jesus. What an attitude. You know, I don't know. How do we get there with Paul? How do we get to the place with Paul where we say, I have to tell people about Christ? I think it's steps. For a lot of us, some of us are there. I have no question about it. You know, there's some people in our congregation, they're already there. But for a lot of us, it's going to be some steps to get there. I was talking with a woman just this morning, and I love it. She said she's buying a car. And the salesman was talking to her about buying the car, and she was, you know, kind of thinking about it, but she hadn't decided yet about buying the car. And the salesman said, well, what are you going to do? What's it going to take to get you to make a decision about this car? And she said, it just came to me. She said, I told him, I'm going to go home and pray about it. She said the salesman looked at her almost like she was joking at first and then realized she was serious, that she was going to go home and she was going to pray about it. Now, that's not sharing the whole gospel, but that's an entry, right? And sometimes where we start is just by letting people know we're people of faith, okay? That's why we wear crosses, right? Because we want people to see the cross. Although the cross for a lot of people is just a piece of jewelry, so we can't leave things there. We have to be willing to go beyond that. We have to be willing to get to the place where we can tell people, my faith is in Jesus. I'm praying to Jesus. I'm wearing this cross because I love what Jesus did for me, and I honor him with my life. We have to get to those places, but we need to begin sometimes just by sharing with people that we are people of faith. Paul was not ashamed to tell people about this power access that they had through Jesus Christ. So let's get into 1 Thessalonians now. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I want to begin reading. We're going to read a few verses from 1 and then some verses from 2 as well. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let me tell you that Paul got to Thessalonica by way of divine appointment. Okay, he did not expect to go to Thessalonica at the time that he did. He actually wanted to go in a different direction with the gospel, but God, he says, would not let him go. That way was blocked, and so he went in the other direction, and he ended up in Thessalonica. He was only there 3 weeks, okay, but he preached the gospel to as many people as he could in those 3 weeks, and many people heard him, and they received the gospel. They not only heard, but they actually believed what Paul was saying to them, and he made a deep impression on them, and they made a deep impression on him. So let me read from chapter 1, starting with verse 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, and God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking about these three things that Paul says that they remember before God, before our God and Father. Your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope. And what it made me think about is what do we want to be remembered for? We get to choose all the time, on a daily basis, how people will remember us, the kind of impression they will have about us, the thing that they will think about when they think about us. And I want to say that I hope people will think about us in the same way that Paul thought about the Thessalonians. That they were people who worked, who did what they did because of their faith, because they had faith in God. Whether it was a small work or a big work, whatever they did it out of faith in God. Their labor, their work, was prompted by love. The reason they did what they did was they had faith in God and they had love for others. And their endurance to continue going was inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. They were people who, as soon as they became Christians, in their culture, in their time, they were going to experience persecution and opposition and trouble. But they kept going. Now, this letter to the Thessalonians was written about a year after Paul had visited them. And Timothy, one of Paul's traveling companions, had gone to Thessalonica and come back with a report about how they were living, how these Christian believers were living out their faith in spite of the opposition they'd experienced. So some time had passed between his visit, bringing the gospel, and this response. But this is what comes back to them, that the Thessalonians are faithful, loving, and enduring because of their hope in Jesus Christ. And that's how he's remembering them. And I think that's a pretty good way to be remembered. Well, let's go on and let's read verse 4. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction. How do you know that somebody has really received and believed in the good news of Jesus Christ? Because when they believe it, when they receive it and believe it, something changes in them. They receive power, the Holy Spirit, and they respond with deep conviction. You see, a lot of people hear the gospel. A lot of people hear the gospel. They hear about Jesus. And they hear that, you know, there's these people that believe that Jesus is God's son, and he came to earth, and he lived here a while, and he died on a cross, and supposedly that was to forgive everybody for their sins, and then he supposedly rose from the dead. Yeah, we've heard all of that. They hear it, but they don't believe it. And unless we believe it, we don't experience the power of God. We don't experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We don't experience the growing conviction of living out our faith in Christ. We not only have to receive it, we have to believe it, the Bible says. The Thessalonians received it and believed it, and Paul knew that because of the way that they responded to it. Let me read on 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, there it is, not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. Why did they, these Christians, why did they not only hear the word, hear the gospel, receive it, but they also believed it? Because they believed that they were hearing not the words of a man, Paul, but the words of God himself. When you come to worship, do you come expecting to hear a nice talk, hopefully a nice talk from somebody? Or do you come to worship expecting to hear from God? Our expectations can make a lot of difference in how we experience worship. If we only expect to hear a nice talk from somebody who's prepared something to say, and that's it, okay? We can easily find ourselves evaluating that talk, right? Well, he wasn't at his best today. Stumbled over his words, lost his place in Scripture. I don't know. I guess he just didn't have enough time to prepare this week. You know, it was okay. You know, there were no jokes. I wish there were a few jokes today. You know, it's kind of serious. You know, I don't know. He lost his voice. I couldn't understand what he was saying. He was mumbling over his words. He talked too fast. Okay. See, if we're only expecting to hear a word from a person, it's easy to fall into those kinds of evaluations, right? What these Thessalonians believed they were hearing was a word from God. A word from God. When we come to worship, we need to expect to hear a word from God. Is God real? Yes. Is God here? Absolutely. Does God want to speak to us? You bet he does. So we need to prepare ourselves to hear a word from God when we come to worship. One of the ways we can do that is simply ask God to speak to us. Lord, in some aspect of this service today, somewhere today, please speak your word to me. Whether it's in a song we sing, or a prayer we pray, or a word of scripture we hear, or something in the message, or maybe it's a conversation I have with somebody else, but Lord, I want to be open to hearing you speak to me today. We need to hear this is the word of God. Well, we're talking about the gospel. I want to take a minute, do something a little bit different, and share with you what the gospel actually is. So hopefully you'll be able to see this. And by the way, this is called the bridge. And I certainly didn't come up with it. It's been around a long time. Some of you are already familiar with it, but some of you may not be. It's an explanation of what the gospel is. And it begins like this. God created a perfect world. Because God is perfect, the world he created was perfect. God is perfectly holy, he's perfectly just, he's perfectly loving, he's perfectly good. God desired to share his perfect world with us. And yes, that's actually the very best I can do at drawing people. He shared this perfect world with us, and we had perfect communion with God. I'm sorry, I know you guys are, you can't see that over there, can you? Trust my words if you can't see my drawings. He created a perfect world, placed us in it so that we could have fellowship and relationship with him. However, God gave us freedom to choose whether or not to be in that relationship. And at some point in time, we chose to turn away from God and to go our own direction, which created a chasm between us and God. When we chose to turn away from God, the Bible calls that sin. We are sinful creatures, every single one of us. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. Every single one of us. If you don't like the word sin, you can put a different word in there. You can say we're all damaged. You can say we're all broken. I think sin is a pretty good word to describe what's wrong with us. That willful part of us that turns away from God, wants to run our own life and move God off of center. The Bible says that as a result of this, Isaiah 59:2 says our sins have separated us from God. They've created this chasm, this division in our relationship. The Bible also says that there's a price to be paid for that. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. So we're separated from God, and because of our sin, we experience death, eternal death. Eternal death is condemnation. It is eternity in hell for our sinfulness. Not only that, we get to also carry all of the guilt of our sin. We get to carry the shame of our sin. We get to experience broken relationships as a result of sin. We get all the consequences of our sinfulness as long as we're separated from God. I said God is holy. Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, be perfect as God is perfect. We can't live up to our own standards. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, have you ever done something that you knew was wrong, that you shouldn't do? Spoken a word, done something, said something to somebody, acted in a way that you knew you were violating your own standards? If we can't live up to our standards, how can we possibly live up to the perfect standards of a holy God? We can't. We can't on our own. However, God, because he loves us, John 3:16, sent his son Jesus into the world to pay for our sins. He went to the cross. 1 Peter says in 1 Peter 3:18, Jesus went to the cross once to be the sacrifice for our sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. And why did he do that? Peter says, to bring us to God. How do we cross the bridge that Jesus has provided? Acts 3:19 says, repent repent and turn to God. Repent simply means acknowledge your sinfulness, acknowledge that you have failed to live up to God's holy standards, and turn back to Him. Repent and turn to God, that your sins may be wiped out. Our sins are wiped out as soon as we turn back to God, confess our sinfulness, and receive what Jesus has done for us. So, God sees us here as holy. Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. First Thessalonians 5, verse 9, says that God did this so that we could live together with him. We can live together with God. Why? Because we're good enough? No, that's what a lot of us try to do. We try to cross this by our good works. Things like going to church, things like reading the Bible, things like giving our money to good causes or tithing. Those things only take us so far. The Bible says that if we break, in James 2:10, if we break even one of God's commandments, we've broken them all. We've broken them all. Have you ever told a lie? If you've told a lie, you've broken one of God's commandments. James says you break one, you break them all, because the standard is perfect holiness. So we can't get there on our own, but Jesus has made a bridge for us to cross, and I'll give you one last verse. John 5:24. Jesus says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. They have crossed over from death to life. That's the gospel. And no, I don't expect you to memorize that and share it with people, but at least now you've heard the full gospel. That we are sinful creatures, that God loved us enough to send Jesus, his son, to die on a cross for our sins, that Jesus was resurrected to life as proof of who he is, and that by faith in him, we move from our sinfulness to God's holiness. And that's the gospel. So I have to apologize to you, because now you have no excuse. You've heard the gospel. You've received it. The question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it?